World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention now to the microphone behind home plate. And please welcome one of America's premier entertainers, Grammy Award winner, Lee Greenwood.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave their right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
And now I was thinking, Spencer, I'm going to give you another assignment here while we're sitting right now. I don't have to give it to you. I was just thinking, November 5th, 2024. November 5th, 24 years ago on 911. You guys remember the American spirit, how alive it was on 911? We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Do you understand that? We're all together against those Muzzies, right? Go get those Muslims. And to think how far we've slid in 20 years, 24 years is astounding. How did it happen? But I'm here to tell you, like a rushing wind, it's rolling back in, boys. I'm going to say this before we get going too much further. We're going to see this is going to be a tsunami. But that doesn't mean it's going to be fair. And if, just ask yourself a simple question. Of the 90 million votes, whatever it was, Donald Trump got, I think he got 90 million votes. Does anybody think he's getting less this time? Does anybody think that Kamala Harris is going to get more than 90 million votes? I want to show you something. I think it's important right here just to, as we get this thing off. It's a standalone one, Spencer. I just sent it to you on ballot harvesting. I don't know if you guys knew this. I wasn't aware of it. I just freeze it right there. I started hearing about ballot harvesting about 10, 15 years ago. I didn't know what it meant. And ballot harvesting didn't seem like any big deal to me. Maybe it make an effect locally. But ballot harvesting is going on even right now and is why the left has been able to win through ballot harvesting. Meaning what? There was a day when the only people who could do absentee ballots were who? People who were out of town, people who were overseas, people who were sick, people who were in a nursing home. Otherwise, everybody had to show up and vote. It's the only way you could do it. One day, in person, on paper, voting. And then they started making exceptions. Oh, yeah, well, military ballots and all that. And then all of a sudden, COVID hits. And what happens when COVID hits? Wow. Well, everybody's locked down. It certainly isn't safe to vote. So let's send ballots to everybody. And that started ballot harvesting. This is about a minute 36. Here's the good thing. Last election, we didn't really understand ballot harvesting. Not to the degree that we understand it today. Betty's on her way she's working the polls today. They'll now understand ballot harvesting a little bit better, right? The idea of dumping off ballots in the middle of the night. We ain't as dumb as we used to be. Folks, they ain't going to be able to pull that off again. But I want all of you to understand what ballot harvesting is. Minute 36 seconds. Go ahead and play this.
Strategists and commentators are taking note of how well Democrats have used early voting and ballot harvesting to their advantage. Some are blaming the GOP's disappointing midterm performance on a failure to get their supporters casting ballots early.
The number one reason for that is Democrat mastery of mail-in balloting, vote harvesting, and the machinery of the early vote in these states where they're voting for weeks, if not months, before the election.
We don't play the game. It's one thing to complain about the game. It's another thing that we don't play it at all. We still say vote on election day. We don't fight for those early votes. We don't ballot harvest. We don't play the games that the Democrats play.
The Republicans really have to get a hold of this early vote thing. There's no Republican early vote strategy. Can anybody tell me what that is?
Millions of Americans voted early and by mail in this election, and Democrats dominated the early vote. Democrats have also dominated the practice of ballot harvesting. That's when one individual collects completed ballots and submits them in bulk at a ballot drop box or by mail. Republicans have fought to ban the practice. In announcing his presidential campaign this week, Donald Trump said he would outlaw it.
To eliminate cheating, I will immediately demand voter ID, same-day voting, and only paper ballots.
But early voting and ballot harvesting remains widespread. Republicans may spend the next 2 years learning how to compete with Democrats on the tactical side of voting. Sarah Westwood for the Washington Examiner.
So the way ballot harvesting works, so that we understand this, folks, they register a bunch of people at, pick an address near you, doesn't matter, some mall, some restaurant. And ballots are mailed to people at that address. We're finding out that maybe 50, 100, sometimes 500 different ballots Gene Schroeder mailed to this address in Hebron, Ohio. And then the people go there and they collect the ballots because there's nobody there to get them. And they collect the ballots and then they sign them and they send them in. That's ballot harvesting. And now it's going on and on. It's exactly what happened before. So in the last election is the Democrats had so many fake ballots out there. So that's our biggest fight right now. So you have to know this, right? Look, folks, Trump isn't getting fewer votes than he did before. And there's no way Harris is going to get more votes than Biden. Just ain't no way. Apart from ballot harvesting, okay? So I just wanted y'all to understand exactly what that was. As I got some good stuff. I always have some good stuff here. Hey, pray for Pastor Bill this morning. Pray for Pastor Bill. That get him out of there. That get his butt out of there. That they're going to move him. Pray for Connie. Oh, boy. Paul Goslin, pray for the healing of Paul. I still haven't spoken to him. We're still trying to organize a hurricane trip. We'd love for some of you to go with us. You have to contact us. Say, Coach, I can only go for 2 days or 3 days. It'll be life-changing for you to be able to go. We'd love for you to be able to go. Just send me an email so we'll be able to. I'm looking at some notes I've made. I could do that, but I won't. I'm just looking. Terry, come on in. Get your hand up. Come on in, Terry. In Pennsylvania, 700,000. What was I say again? Say that. That was a good one. That was a good one.
700,000 fewer mail-in ballots, and that was on OAN News last night.
Yeah, it's all across America. See, that's why they wanted the early vote for the Republicans. I couldn't figure that out for a while. And we are way, 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 way overwhelming them. So it's going to be hard for them now to drop off ballots and have a big change at the end of it. So, hey, Lord's on the throne. Thanks for everybody showed up and voted last night. Yada, yada, yada. Some neat stuff, good stuff going on. This really got on me last night. Bring up number five, Psalm 11. Psalm 11. And then I was going to read this in our prayer vigil last night. Didn't get a chance to. By the way, did you guys see that finally there were prayer vigils all across America last night? Finally, people coming together and praying. God help the church. God help the church. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Do you get a picture of this? Do you understand? The wicked have bent their bow. They got the arrow in their bow, and they're hiding behind some tree. You don't even know that they're doing it. They're privately doing it. And who are they shooting at? The upright in heart. Psalm 11:3 says that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. It's powerful, isn't it? His eyelids try the power, try, I'm sorry, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Whew. So much for Jesus loves everybody, huh? Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and on a holy tempest. Who's he going to do that to, Ray? Who's he going to do that to? The wicked.
Wicked.
Yes. He's going to do that to the wicked. Who is? Amen. He is. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Wow, 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 wow. Huh? Oh, people say, Lord's will be done. Oh, baby, it will. The Lord's will be done. I want to caution all of us out there and think about this. This just hit me today. Did you guys know that? And when the election's over tonight, it'll be 2 months, 2.5 months before Donald Trump is sworn in. Do you understand that? This is November 5th. Inauguration day is what? January 20th? So November 5th, December 5th, January 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th. We got a long ways to go before we get to the inauguration, folks. I want you all to get yourselves prepared for what we're probably going to see the most unbelievable, what would be chaos we've ever seen. Why? Because Satan is the author of confusion and chaos. And we're going to see it like we've never seen it. I'm not prophesying that. Boy, they can do a lot of damage in 2 months, can't they, friends? Huh? Can you imagine the lawsuits they're going to file? Try to keep Trump out, ballots. See, huh? They complain all the. They got mad when we said the election was rigged. You watch what goes on their side, see? Calling out a rigged election. I got some more stuff to talk about, but I sense Glenn's got something. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, I was at the Franklin County Board of Elections on Saturday as an observer, just watching. You know, they allow you as an observer to kind of go inside and watch the process. And I was talking to one of the administrators there, that the election in Ohio doesn't get certified until 15 days after the election. So in many respects, we're not going to know right away who won, although the networks will project the winners, but it doesn't become certified for like 15 days.
That's right. So there's going to be a lot of chaos, right? And the whole J6 thing was what? People just showed up in Washington, D.C. and said, hey, something's not right here. Something's not right here. We need to take another look at the election. And you see what they did to it, right? Yeah, we see what they did to it. Okay, I started to go somewhere and I got lost. Let me come back here. Pull up Psalm 11. Because I had this real, I just read Psalm 11. All right, so I want to make a connection here for you. Spencer, pull up the number 11. This is for you, Steve Deck and Craig. Number 11. Meaning of numbers, the number 11. The meaning of number 11 is important in that it can symbolize disorder, chaos, and judgment. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In the Bible, 11 is, in the Bible, 11 is used 24 times, and 11th can be found 19 times. Coming after 10, which symbolizes law and responsibility, isn't that something? 11 represents the opposite, which is the irresponsibility of breaking the law, which brings disorder and judgment. Is anybody out there want to go, boom, I never knew this. Boom, order in October, disorder in November. In Genesis 11, men rebelled against God and built the Tower of Babel. He judged them by confusing their language, resulting in chaos. Jeroboam, one of the last kings of Judah, ruled for 11 years. His successor, Jehoiachin, rules for 3 months before the Babylonians take control of Jerusalem. King Joram, one of King Ahab's many sons, ruled over the kingdom of Israel for 11 years. He was mostly bad and was killed by God through Jehu as part of the Lord's vengeance against the house of Ahab. Isn't it something? The Lord does the killing. What was 11 years ago? What would 11 years ago today be? 2013? King Joram, one of King Ahab's many sons, ruled over the kingdom of Israel for 11 years. He was mostly bad king who was killed. Oh, I said that tonight. I'm sorry. King Jehoiakim, the third from the last ruler over the kingdom of Judah, reigned for 11 years. Necho of Egypt, after he had deposed and taken his prisoner, placed Jeroboam on the throne as a puppet ruler. Folks, do you see this? Placing Kamala on as a puppet ruler? Jehoiakim has the distinction of experiencing King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon's first attack on Jerusalem and Judea. It was during this attack that Daniel and his three friends were taken captive into Babylon. King Zedekiah, the last ruler over Judah, was also king for 11 years. He was placed on the throne by Babylon Empire as a puppet ruler. Do you have any idea how many puppet rulers we've had since Barack Obama? He was placed on the throne by Babylonian Empire as a puppet ruler, considered one of Judah's bad rulers. His kingdom came to an abrupt end in 586 when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and burnt down its magnificent temple. The Apostle John saw 11 things in connection with final judgment. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 11 caves on the upper northwest shore of the Dead Sea. The total number of fragments found exceeds 95,000. The 11 New Testament books do not have any direct quotes from the Old Testament. The ones that don't are Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. 11 books have no quotes from the Old Testament. The third and most referenced Old Testament passage found in the New Testament occurred 11 times. And these passages are Daniel 1 and Isaiah 6. Several kings of Judah got angry when confronted with words they did not want to hear, including Asa, Joash, Uzziah, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah. Nahum, captain of the king's armies, felt insulted when he was told by the prophet Elisha to wash in the Jordan to be healed. The last of the 11 who did not want to hear the truth was Herod Antipas. There are 11 dukes of Edom in the Bible. Although closely related to the house of Israel, a bitter hatred existed between the two peoples. The dukes or chiefs of Edom were Timnah, Alva, Jephthah. Who knows these names, right? The Gospel of John records 11 very special promises. A person can receive everlasting life by believing in the Son of God, promise one. Promise two, a person can have eternal life by eating spiritually the elements, communion. Three, by following Jesus, you will not walk in darkness. Four, those who continue in Jesus' word will be set free. Five, a person will be truly free if made so by Jesus. Six, promise that God will honor those who serve Christ. Seven, the promise those who believe in Jesus will do greater deeds than he did. Number eight, those who obey Christ's commands will receive the Holy Spirit. Promise number nine, those who keep Jesus' commands will be loved by both him and God the Father. Promise number 10, those who abide in Jesus will be fruitful. And promise number 11, the last of the promises, that a person can be Christ's friends if they obey him. Scroll down, Spence. One of the greatest New Testament events is Jesus' last Passover. Only 11 of the Lord's disciples took the bread and wine, symbolic of Jesus' broken blood. 11 of Jesus' disciples after his resurrection used lots to determine who would replace Jesus, who had killed himself. Jesus showed himself alive only three times to all 11 of his disciples. Scrolling down. Only three of the remaining 11 disciples after Jesus' resurrections had their writings included in the New Testament. Yada, 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 yada. Something's happening here. We are in biblical times for sure. Whatever that term even means, we're in biblical times, boys and girls. I want to play number one. I'm going to open it up here. My buddy Flip Benham. I watched it. Dale saw this morning. I thought, huh? When men see bravery, courage breeds courage. Go ahead and play this.
Men see bravery, courage breeds courage. When people see that, they're going to say, okay, whatever the cost, I'm coming. I'm coming, and I got my chin set like a flint toward Jerusalem, and whatever you do, I am going to continue to come, and if you kill me, if I go down, I'm going down standing up in the name of Jesus, and these gates of hell are not going to prevail against me because I got arrows behind me that are going to run over my dead carcass when I throw myself down on that barbed wire and continue storming the gates of hell, and you, devil, are not going to win. You never could, you never
have, Amen.
And you never will. When men see bravery.
Amen, huh? Amen. All right. There's some good stuff for you. Come on in. Somebody come on in. Randy, come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, God has templates, Coach. He shows himself in many ways, but a lot of times it's through a template. It's through like an architect. He builds with certain tools, and that's what he uses, and he just keeps building it, and you can see him and how he builds. So the numerology is one of those, Coach. And number 11, the number, what we really need to understand about 11 is it's always one short of government, of God's government, which is 12. 12 is one of the perfect numbers. So there's four perfect numbers, 3, 7, 10, and 12. The 12 always is representative of government. So, you know, there's something about God and his government. But 12, if you really understand the book of Revelation, you'll notice that the city is all, it's a 12. It's a 12 by 12. And 44,000 is 12 squared. And everything, 12 is usually, it's representing his government. So one less than that means it's always never going to be enough. It's not what God really wants. It's not his will. 11 is, you know, just when Judas went out, they as soon as they got set down and could get together, they picked another one. Why? Because they needed 12. God just says 12 is my number for government. His numbers are important. So they're in the Bible. They're very important. We don't have to worship numbers and be just in the numerology, but we can understand God if we can understand patterns. What templates mean.
That's right.
Templates, so that's what they're there for. And if we'll use them, we can help it. It helps us understand, which is where we need to all be, is to understand.
Amen. Amen. Ray.
Well, you know, Randy, if we're in these 11s.
Hey, Ray, hang on a second. Ray, what about the 11th hour? We hear that, don't we?
Right.
We're in the 11th hour. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah. So what comes after 11? We're right around the corner for 12. Amen.
That's right. That's right, brother. That's right. So bring up number 6 for me real quickly, because this is, folks, I'm telling you, what is ahead of us is going to be like something we have never seen, okay? So tonight at midnight or whenever, they declare Donald Trump president of the United States. Okay, elected president of the United States. We have 2 months before he's elected, all right? So here are some important dates that we need to remain in prayer about. Scroll down, Spencer. Date number 1. Number 5 is election day. That's today, all right? Over the next few weeks, election officials will always tell you that the results reported on election night are unofficial. And over the next week, they'll confirm the tallies, add in provisionals and overseas, yada, yada, yada. Then on December 11th, there'll be the appointing of the electors. This is a key deadline. It's when a state executive has to certify the state's presidential electors. By the way, that's when J6 should have taken place right then. The governor's of states default. See, Michael DeWine in Ohio, all he had to do was declare during the last election that there's a chance that it could have been fraudulent, and there'd have been, we wouldn't even be in this mess. Nobody would have had to go to Washington, D.C. The governor didn't do their job. So the governor's of states default executive, unless state law ahead of time designates another official. So according to Electoral Count Reform Act, which was passed in 2022, this deadline is 6 days before the electors meet. So DeWine could have said, your governor could have said, we're not going to certify this. Too many questions in this election. We are going to do an investigation. You understand that, friends? And nobody had the stones to do it. So on December 17th, the electors meet. The appointed presidential electors from each state will meet in their state capitals to cast their official votes for the candidates who won their state's votes. Together, these gatherings are referred to as the meeting of the Electoral College. Hey, friends, we're not even halfway there yet. Keep going. Scroll down, Spence. On December 25th is the arrival of the electoral votes. The president of the Senate and the National Archivist must receive the electoral certificates of each state by the fourth Wednesday in December. So let's back up a minute. when there appeared to be cheating in Ohio in 2020 or Pennsylvania or Georgia, wherever it should have been, they should have stopped it right there and said, nope, nope, there are too many questions here. We cannot certify this. You tracking with me? Instead, they tried to get them all in there. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. Michael DeWine would be vice president of the United States today if he'd stopped the election. But he didn't because why? Because he's part of the deep state. Republicans don't care, friends. On January 3rd, there's a swearing in of the new Congress. This all happens before we get a president. The new Congress is sworn in before its members count the presidential electoral votes. So they were sworn in. We showed up on January 6th. Why did we show up on January 6th? Because in the election's final step, members of Congress convene to count the electoral votes. And because our state representatives didn't do their job and yell, time out in Ohio, time out, they passed the buck and we had to go to January 6th. Following the effort to overturn the 2020 election. Now, hang on, friends. Nobody tried to overturn an election. We wanted it to be fair and validated. No one was looking to overturn an election. That's what January 6th is about. But all those steps preceding stopped. The Election Count Reform Act also introduced a new series of reforms to this joint session, such as clarifying that the vice president's role in overseeing this count is ministerial and raising the threshold for objection to a state's electoral slate to one-fifth of each chamber. So no longer can Mike Pence drop the ball. He could have stopped the election. Well, they changed it. No more. Now it takes one-fifth of the chamber to say, whoa, time out. Something not right here. And then on the 47th, the president takes the oath of office on January 20th. That's what's ahead of us. And you think they're not going to file lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit? Boy, we got some times ahead of us. Come on, somebody come on in here. Change the subject if you don't want to. If you don't want to talk about the election. Go vote. Go vote.
Well, Coach.
Coach, you're spot on. Remember, who is the president of the Senate in overseeing this?
Mike
Pence was for Trump. Who's going to be in charge of this? Why, it's going to be Kamala Harris. No, there's nothing to see here, Coach. Nothing's going to happen, right?
No, let me tell you what.
They set us up. They used our own language. You want to talk about what an insurrection is going to look like when Donald Trump wins and January 6th comes and she's supposed to oversee the count? You're going to see an insurrection on the other side.
A brother, huh? Huh? Like, because they always accuse us of what they do, don't they, friends? They always accuse us of what they do. I got another good sheet to pull up here that I'm waiting to hear from you. What do you think? So 11 days of prayer in the 11th month, almost in the 11th hour, wasn't it? What happens? What would happen if the church would arise? All right, cool. Nobody's waiting. Okay, Spencer, pull up. I'm doing my best to let you get in there. Final predictions. Clint, come on in.
Well, I was debating on whether to say anything or not, but
say it, brother. Say it.
There's higher powers, and I'm not talking about godly powers. I'm talking about evil powers.
Amen, brother.
That are at work. I know in our state, our governor, the day after the election, said that there was something wrong, that we need to look into the election. The day after that, and I'm almost hesitant to talk about this, the day after that, his daughter's boyfriend was going down to Savannah to campaign for Loeffner, that was running for Senate, that he had appointed, and his car blew up on the four lane down there on I-16. The day after that happened, then him and our Secretary of State came out and said this was the most secure election that we have ever had.
Yes,
and
sir.
Let's not look at it. And I've got a friend that went to college with that, not that daughter, but another daughter, and asked, you know, well, why did your dad do that? And the only thing that his daughter said was he had to do what was best for his family.
There you go.
And this all revolved around the voting machines. What's the company? Dominion. And he's the one that got Dominion in, and many people said that he got a huge kickback from that. Right. So I think, you know, these governors make the deal with the devil and then they can't get out of it.
That's exactly what happens to them. They get their foot caught in that trap and no way to eject themselves. Amen. Amen. Alan.
You say Alan or Adam, Coach?
You, brother.
All right, thank you. Hey, I don't know why nobody, maybe you guys noticed this, but most of the people that I know didn't notice it. About 2 weeks after Trump and Pence got sworn in the last time that Trump was president, Pence went over into the Middle East, put a kufi on his head, and went into a mosque and bowed down to Mecca and prayed with the Muslims. And I knew then that the man wasn't a Christian, but I told that to a whole bunch of people, and everybody made excuses for it. I don't know why, you know?
That's right. Well, evil men have crept in unaware. That's what happened to his brother, for sure. Dale.
Well, amen, Coach. I'm telling you, this is such a prophetic thing because, and I shared this on Sunday at the church, and I asked a simple question. I said, who did God tell Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go? And it was like a unitone voice. Aaron, Moses. I said, wrong answer. I said, when we read, and Spence, please pull up Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. And when you start, you read the beginning. This is God in the burnt. This is Moses in the burning bush.
Exodus 3:16.
And so listen to the word of the Lord as he spoke to Moses. This is what I want you to do, Moses. Aaron was not his first ticket. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord your God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared. And he goes, this is what he's telling them. Verse 18, they will pay heed to what you say, and you with the elders. Coach, let me tell you what's going to happen, just like it always does. What happens? Moses goes to the elders. You go, you read it in 4:29. Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel. Says, we're going to do this, boys. We're going to go to Pharaoh, and this is what's going to happen. And you know what the elders are telling him? You go talk to Pharaoh. We're going to stand over here. We're going to have a church service. I'm paraphrasing. That's what they did. They were excited. There was a deliverer coming, but God told them to take the elders. Same thing here, Coach. We want someone else to go. We're too busy over here having our little church service, and yeah. God has called us, the watchman on the wall, to go to this thing. And I want to tell you, if Trump wins, you know where the church is going to be Wednesday night? They're going to be in their little church service, as you would always say. Look, I'm a pastor. They're going to be waving their flags having a little hoorah. But what you said on December 11th, you won't find the pastors there. On January 6th, you won't find the pastors there. But who did God call to do this? Us, Coach. He's called the watchmen, the elders of the church. Because I just want to tie that into Moses.
Called the Coach Dave Livers. Let me throw something else up. Thank you, Dale. That's good, man. Pull up. It says final predictions on election 2024. I don't know if you guys ever follow Tierney Real News or not. Tierney. T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Tierney Real News. Spencer, do you see what that one up there, man? It's a standalone email. It says final predictions on election 2024. Maybe it doesn't say that. It says, yeah, Richard. Yep. Okay, folks, just some interesting thing. Again, I have a lot of respect for Tierney Real News, okay? So this newsletter includes the final predictions and charts, yada, yada, yada. So let's just go down through some things that they've accumulated here, okay? In 1980, the pollsters said Reagan was going to lose big time to Carter. Are you looking at me? The job of the polls is to keep it close so you pay attention and they can sell a lot of advertising, and to keep it close so that they can rig it. That's the only reason for polls. Okay? So they had Jimmy Carter winning, and we know that Ronald Reagan had probably the largest, won 44 states. Scroll down, Spence. Reagan won 44 states, 489 electoral votes, and he beat Carter by 10 points. And they were saying the day of Reagan was going to lose. And there's Reagan's map. Look at that. What has happened to us since 1980? Look at that. Scroll down, Spence. A lot of good bites here. In 2016, the pollsters said from the beginning that Trump was going to lose to Hillary. And after Trump won, the networks and pundits agreed that the polls were mostly wrong. And then they conspired with each other and the fake news and big tech to make sure that Republicans could never win again. There was a polling. Hillary was going to win. Trump beat her big time. Trump won 2016. Trump won 30 states with 304 electoral votes. And they said he was losing to Hillary. Crazy. There's the Trump map. Go back up there. There's the Trump map. You guys really think that map's changed? Do you really think that map's changed? Scroll down. Then, of course, it's 2020 when they used COVID to push cheat by mail. And even though Trump was still winning big on election night, they did all sorts of nefarious things to shut down the count, trucking millions more of phony ballots. And remember the pipes bursting in Atlanta, 4-hour delay, no ballots were damaged. And look, it was Pennsylvania. Trump 57, Biden 41 until they shut down the voting. Trump 54 in Michigan, Biden 44 until they shut down the voting. Georgia 53, 45 until they shut down the voting. Vote counting. Huh? Look at that. Look at this, folks. This is the rigging that's going on. We have to understand they could still be doing it now. Scroll on down. Well, remember that, don't we? That's when they stopped the counting and then all the votes came in. The pollsters always say that the Democrats are going to win, no matter what. They do that to demoralize conservatives and stop them from voting. They do it so Democrats can pull a fast one and cheat at the end. Sometimes pollsters course correct at the last minute to try to save their face. So, and the pollsters will come out and say, oh, the race is tightening all of a sudden. Oh, it's tightening, when Trump's been ahead all along. In Trump's case, Republicans do not answer polls. I get texts all the time. I don't answer polls. Republicans don't answer polls. Even the left-wing pollsters admit that. So what does Wall Street say today? The expectation today is that Donald Trump will win the White House in just a few days. Scroll down. This week's PSYOP, here's what they tried to do to us. They roast a comics joke. On Monday, a roast comics joke will decide the election. Then number two, they had a phantom apostrophe. Then Wednesday, I will protect women, referring to abortion instead of keeping killers from pouring across the border. Thursday, Trump wants to put Liz Cheney in jail for a firing squad. Friday, this is the media, okay? This is the media doing this, right? Undecideds are breaking for Kamala. Saturday, Kamala's winning Ohio or Iowa. Three more ways to go. Ignore the noise. Vote, right? All that stuff is fake. It's all fake. It's all fake. Russian collusion didn't work. Two phony impeachments didn't work. Blaming him for J6 didn't work. Silencing him on social media didn't work. Two assassinations didn't work. Calling Hitler and his supporters Nazis didn't work. Even endorsements of Taylor Swift, Clooney, LeBron James, John Legend, DiCaprio, Usher, Beyonce, Cardi B won't work. Why? Because Donald Trump is a true force of nature. They keep blaming Trump for chaos when they are the one causing the chaos. Somebody say amen. Boom. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
De Niro says you have to vote for Kamala because even though she's made lots of mistakes, she's trying to do the right thing. Why would anybody listen to him? Scroll on down. This is the propaganda we're facing, right? Go on down. Set wrong. 79% of the country think we're going in the wrong direction. You think they're going to vote for Kamala Harris? 79% of Americans think we're going in the wrong direction. Scroll on down. It's the economy, stupid, James Carville told him. Go on, go on, go on down. Keep going. Rob Blagojevich, or whatever. Blug, I remember him. I know about winning elections. I never lost one. Turnout is everything. Forget the polls. They become an industry in the business of cooking up numbers to feed the hungry consumers. All that matters now is that you vote. No way Trump loses if his supporters vote. Women always vote earlier than men. Men, you need to vote on election day for Trump. 72,181,302 mail-in and LA in-person votes are cast nationally. There's women voting early. Go down. It's good stuff, huh? Total voter by party. Democrats. Get you caught in the numbers. Yada, yada, yada. So far, there are 7 million early votes for Democrats that didn't happen in 2024. In other words, folks, they're missing somewhere 7 million votes, early votes that Biden got in 2020. They're not out. They can't find those 7 million people. Why? Was it because they weren't real people? That the ballots were stuffed early? And they're not able to get away with it as much this time as they were before? Scroll on down. Scroll on down. This is all Republican. Blah, 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 blah. Huh? Look, Arizona compared to 220, the urban turnout is down. The inner city's not voting. Females are not voting for Kamala. Georgia, female turnout, inner city down, females not voting. Michigan, urban turnout down, females not voting. North Carolina, urban turnout down, females not voting. Nevada, urban turnout down, females not voting. Pennsylvania, urban turnout is down 381,000 votes, and the women are down 450,000 votes. Wisconsin, turnout is down 100,000 and women are down 238,000. Hey, folks. Come on in, Jeff Klein. Put this in the chat because there's some fascinating information in there for these folks to see. Really, really good.
Me and my wife will be going up to the gates of hell today to vote on Election Day. It's just crazy. But what's your thoughts on 9 o'clock last night, Joe Rogan endorsed Donald Trump? You see that?
Yeah, I wonder why. What was the purpose of that, I wonder?
Is it because of Elon Musk?
Well, you mean up to... Why would he do it last night? People have been voting for 2 weeks, right?
Yep.
Crazy. So we all got to go vote. We got to all go vote. And you all know that. You all know that. Okay, so here I sit. This never happens. Finally, Clint comes in. You're making me do like I'm a solo guy. Go ahead, Clint.
I just saw earlier this morning on the news that Oprah and Kamala's rally yesterday said, if Donald Trump wins, it's very likely we will never get to vote again. She said
Is that unbelievable? Hey, friends, let me ask you something. Who is locking up the other party? Who's locking up the other party? I can't believe we can't see this, right?
Who was it? Stalin said, accuse the enemy of doing what you're doing and keep doing it.
Amen. Amen. But here's how it's happened. And it's because of podcasts like this. I'm not claiming credit. The Joe Rogans, all that kind of stuff. The people have moved away from the mainstream media and they're not as controlled as they used to be. And if you remember, I said about 3 weeks ago, I could look on News with Views and see where I wrote it. Men are not voting for Kamala Harris. Men will not vote for Kamala Harris. Now, they may tell their wives they're going to. They may put a sign in their yard, but no man is going to walk in and vote for Kamala Harris. It's just not happening. Just not happening. And again, they wanted Kamala Harris in there because she is Barack Obama 2.0. Obama fundamentally transforming United States of America. That's what it's all about. All right, I'm all talked out. Somebody come in. Dale.
It's about his fourth term.
Say it again.
I say you're right. It's about his fourth term.
It's his fourth term, man. It's about Obama's fourth term.
Where is Barack Obama? Normally, Barack Obama's out there polling and yepping and screaming and shouting for. He's separating himself from her.
Michelle's John Luck up in the basement.
Yeah. Hey, where's Hillary? Where's Bill?
They're behind the curtain.
Huh? Where are all these people out there screaming? Uh-uh, baby. No, they smell that dead carcass as well. That's for sure. Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, just a reminder, I told him earlier before the show started. 4 years ago, they had me come up to the Republican headquarters on election night. They asked me a couple weeks ago to come up. So guess where I'm going to go tonight? It's going to be good.
It'll be good. Be good. It'll be good. Dale. No?
I'm sorry. I didn't take my hand down.
All right. Shame on you. Shame on you. So Coach Dave said about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, that what we were seeing was a total and complete reforming of political parties. Friends, we have to come to this, honestly, we have to come to ourselves and admit this. The Republicans are not our friends. Fox News, they're not our friends, folks. They're not our friends. And whether we want to admit it or not, whether we want to realize it or not, Donald Trump is leading MAGA. I don't care what you think about Donald Trump. He is polling those real, true American Republicans away from the Republican Party. That's what's happening. And as I said yesterday, Vivek Ramaswamy is part of his coalition. Robert Kennedy Jr. is part of the Trump coalition. Elon Musk, part of the Trump coalition. We are seeing a total and complete restructuring of the political parties right in front of us. I'm going to tell you this as much as it hurts. The Republican Party does not want Trump elected. They don't want him elected, friends. They've done everything they can. Everything they can without openly coming out and sabotaging him. They don't want it. Why? Because it is the destruction of the Republican establishment. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, all those guys, gone, gone. Johnny, oh, by the way, vote no on issue one in Ohio. No on issue one. That's all you need to know. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, Fox has got it neck and neck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Johnny, just use your mic. Do you really think that – does anybody out there really, truly think that Kamala's going to get more votes than Donald Trump? Hell, they had to cheat to get Biden in last time. He didn't win last time. And so our question is, as we look at the culture and all that stuff out there, is see, they want to depress voting. They don't want you to show up because, well, Trump's going to lose, right? There are going to be more men go in and vote for Kamala or for Donald Trump who will never tell their wives. It's an instinct. Cool. Ray.
Yeah, I was reading yesterday somewhere about, and the second time I heard it, is a contingency plan. They have kind of like inside information that there's going to be a slaughter at the White House. And they changed the law so that they're expecting a multitude of senators and congresspeople to be killed through an attack. You know, we're right around the corner from being attacked.
Right.
So you think this might be a way for them to disrupt the whole election cycle, and Trump That's will never right. make it in because
we're on yeah, the we're not home yet. We're not home yet. So again, friends, I want you to ask yourself this question. Who riots when they lose? Do God-fearing Christians ever riot when they lose? No. They march to Washington, D.C., and then the left infiltrates and riots on their behalf. And so when we see Washington, D.C. barricading everything, who does that tell you they know is going to win? And who's going to riot? George Howard, come on in, George.
I've said this for a while. The real show will start tomorrow until January 20th. We haven't seen anything until then, and it's fair game because he's not in till then.
That's right, baby.
Like they were saying, I mean,
we got two months ahead of us, and we ain't gonna believe. Randy. Yes.
So, Coach, the false flags that we're going to see are going to be very, very numerous. So what we need to do, you need to renew your mind, Coach. We need to renew our mind, understand what's going on, and just don't be anxious, don't be worried. We always need to be action people. But don't let the distractions take you out of just keeping your eyes on the ball.
And that's so, right.
This is the time we're in, Coach. We need to be the strong ones. We need to see what's happening and not be, you know, up and down and all excited and worried. There is no worry. There is no fear here. So just we need to be strong, Coach. We need to hold our coalition together and not follow all the false flags and the distractions. That's
right.
That's my best advice, Coach, right there.
Keep on the ball. Trent, quickly.
Coach, this is the template that Randy was talking about. I mean, look, they have to arrest Bill Dunphy, one man.
That's right.
They have to arrest him because he undressed them. They are weak. Yeah. Hillary's hiding. Brock is tired. They're wore out. They're defeated. John the Baptist had to get beheaded because he took her clothes off. He undressed. He says she's a whore. He weakened her. He took her off of her throne, Coach.
That's right. That's right.
This is
number
great.
Seven, real quick, Spencer. We're about out of time. I want to play this. Number seven. I don't want you ever, 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 ever to forget what they did to us, friends. What they did to us. Both sides. This is old. This is old. August 6th. This is old. This is some years. Don't ever forget what they did to us. Go ahead, play this. Vaccinate. Buckle up. We're in for quite a ride. See you tomorrow.